Welcome. As you're making your way in, I owe maybe about 20% of you an apology. I did not expect quite so many people, and I did not make enough handouts. So I am so sorry. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to email a copy of the handout to the district, and then if you hear something here where you think, I really need to have a copy of this so I can read through the notes, then if you want to reach out to the district, I'm sure they will be happy to distribute that as needed. The notes are actually a lot more comprehensive than what, it's not going to be necessary for what we're doing in this room in this space right now. So we will use slides for right now. The notes are my attempt to take material that we normally work through over the course of about 6 weeks and condense it into 1 hour. And so this is so you'll have something to take home with you that will give you a little bit of an overview of the rest of the 6 weeks. But if you didn't get one, again, I'm so sorry about that. Share as best you can. I try to kind of distribute them throughout the room, and then I will make sure that the district has those if you really would like to get a copy of them. Or you could always just email me. I will just email you a copy if you want one. I heard my name. Yes? Oh, I've got it on a jump drive right here. Do you have the capacity to do that pretty quick? Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. It's in the folder breakout session, friendship evangelism, not the notes. The notes are my copy. No one will understand it. It's all shorthand. It's a 13-page document. If we could get another, how many do not have a document and don't have anyone to share with you? We probably need another 20, I would say. Thank you for that. All right, good. Well, welcome. Thanks for being here. Will you bow your heads for a quick word of prayer with me before we jump in? All right, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for calling us your friend. What a thing that is. May we in this room, in this time, be found to be trustworthy friends who extend your friendship to everyone in our orbit that we possibly can. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So the concept behind this presentation today, like I said, it normally takes us about 6 weeks to work all through it. We're only going to have an hour. This is a big room, which means it's going to be a little bit difficult to be interactive, but I am by nature an interactive teacher, so I am. If you're comfortable with raising your hand and projecting as loud as you can, I am very comfortable with that. So feel free to jump in with questions, comments, observations. I will try to make some space for that in this session as well, but I understand that the nature of this room means a lot of you probably will not really want to do that, but I just want to make that an option for you. We will explore whatever piece of this material you find most helpful and most vital for where you are right now. So the concept behind it came because we began in our church to be convinced that the Lord was calling us to grow church the hard way. Here's what I mean by that. It's not easy to grow a church. But there are certain pathways that if you have enough people and enough money, you can kind of do that. If you show up in town and you do the studies, this is what a lot of churches will do. If you show up in town, you do the studies, you figure out what the demographics are, you build a nice enough building, you have enough money for the advertising, you set up a nice enough program with high enough quality music from people that you've brought in from elsewhere that you can pay a lot of money to, and then you make sure everything, you can attract all the Christians in your community who are unhappy with their current churches to come to your church. That is a thing that if you have enough money, anybody can do, right? Now, many of us come from churches that don't have the kind of resources to do that, but yet we feel a little bad that we're not doing that because we sort of see that's what's happening for churches that are growing, and so we think that's supposed to be how churches grow, how it happens. And what I want to talk to you about is that I think what the Lord has called us to do, and I don't just mean Brett and I in our church, but the Church of the Nazarene and Christians everywhere, is to grow church the hard way. In other words, we're not meant to just be the coolest Christian culture in town. We are meant to make disciples of people who don't yet know Jesus. There is a simple word for that. It's evangelism. But when I say that word, people start to feel a little weird, right? You know what I mean? When you say evangelism, first of all, we all feel like we should think that's a good thing, and then we all feel a little guilty that we also don't really want to do it, and we also feel like, oh, but that makes everyone weird, right? Everyone's going to get uncomfortable if we do that. So there's got to be some way to talk to people about Jesus without being the weirdo on a soapbox in the corner of the street, right? This is what we're trying to learn how to do again, and I think that our DNA, our faith heritage DNA, as members of the Church of Nazarene, and more broadly as Wesleyans, right? So we've got this story in our faith heritage that is so perfectly told and positioned for our time that it is vital that we learn how to do this well, so that we can teach all the other churches how to do this, because they don't have the resources that we have. Some of them may have the money, some of them may have the people, but they need the theology that we've got. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We are a people, and we always have been, who are captivated by what God's grace is capable of. Like, from beginning to end, we uniquely are captivated. Everybody loves God's grace. I'm not saying we've got the corner on the market on that. But I'm saying that we in our tradition understand something about God's grace that says God's grace is there before anyone ever makes a smart move or a decision. Like, just invading the whole world before anyone even draws breath. God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. Prevenient grace is what we call it. And we think that God's grace carries us all the way through our salvation stories and our life stories to the fullness of a life of holiness. We actually believe that a person who is enveloped by God's grace will become more like Jesus every day. We think people can change. If you look around the world, not a lot of people think people can change. We actually do. And because we have that kind of hope, that kind of optimism, that kind of theology that tells us that this is true, we go around expecting people to change, to become more like Jesus. That complete story is so compelling and so powerful, and we've got to learn how to tell it. That's why we're here to do what we call relational evangelism or friendship evangelism, or as I like for my main title, how to talk to people about Jesus without being weird, because we can absolutely figure out ways to do this. So what we're going to do, like I said, this is 6 weeks worth of material. What we're going to do is I'm going to walk through fairly quickly for about 10, maybe 15 minutes, depending on if you have questions along the way, the steps of this. And then we're going to dig in at a couple of key moments based on what I think you're interested in, what I think we really need to pay attention to at this time. And if you have questions about the rest of the material, we'll make sure to get some extra handouts for everyone so you can dig into that on your own time, or you can contact me if you have some questions you want to look at it a little bit more. So the overview is up on the screen right now. This is sort of the story of reconciliation, of how we move from someone who is fully estranged from God, either in active rejection. Oh, we've got handouts. This is excellent. Thank you so much. Brett, would you mind distributing that to all who have need? Thanks. So we move from a place of being estranged, no relationship with God whatsoever, maybe an active rebellion against God, but probably not even that, probably just not really. Most people are not atheists. There are atheists out there. Most people wouldn't call themselves atheists. Most people just don't care, don't have a vital concern, don't know why they should care. So from being completely estranged to God to being a transformed believer. I'll give everybody a chance to get those handouts there. So along the way, there are several barriers, several steps that we need to find a bridge across. One of the things that we started to recognize when we would talk about this, and this material, by the way, is developed not even by Brett and I, as the secretary of our church board, a guy named Rich Jacobs, helped come up with all of this. One of the things we began to recognize is that either people were really good with the friendship thing, be friends with non-believers, be friends with people outside the church, be friends with people who are estranged from God. They were very, very good with that. They would do that all day long. and never really quite able to get to the evangelism part of it. So they would never really get to the actually tell them about Jesus thing. Like, just friendship all the way, but I don't want to do the weird thing where I tell them about Jesus. Or we had some people who were very good at evangelism, but it was high confrontation. So let me tell you about Jesus. The moment they would meet somebody, they wanted to talk about Jesus. And sometimes that would work, but a lot of times, and increasingly in our culture, that was not an effective way to be able to connect people to Jesus. So we have these steps to figure out the way across. So when people start out estranged with no relationship with God, they need friendship with us to become connected. When they become connected, they're connected to God only through the Christ that they see in you. Then they need your testimony, your storytelling, your stories of the way that God has been faithful in your life to become informed. And they're not informed about theology. They're informed about the fact that you, at least, believe that your life has been changed by your relationship with the Lord. And then they need the gospel message in order to become empowered. They need to hear the message of good news so that God's grace might empower them to have faith. And I'm saying that very carefully. If we have time to get to that piece of the story today, we will. We believe that a person can't simply just decide one day, I have faith. That it is God's grace, too, that empowers someone to have faith, to choose to believe. And then, at that moment, your invitation is what invites them to become transformed, to be another one sharing the good news, to be born again. So, let's jump in. That's the big picture overview. Now we're going to look at what happens at each stage in this journey. And how are we doing on time? There's never enough of it. We're doing good, though. Okay. So step one is friendship. And I want to break down what you're looking at on the screen. So your friend is the one in the box to the left. They are estranged. Uh-oh.
It seems as though we may have printed the wrong thing.
Oh, did you print my notes?
You got my notes from a previous lecture, so it will make zero sense.
So if you missed Brett's breakout session, then you now have notes on what that was all. Was it your notes from the breakout? Oh, that is fantastic. Okay, so that's not going to do you any good. Here's what happened in Brett's breakout session. In Brett's session, he tells a story of his very first job in a community mental health center. And the very first day of his job doing community mental health, he'd never done community mental health before. On the very first day, his boss is going to give him training, right? That's pretty important. If you are a caseworker for people in the community who are homeless because of schizophrenia and bipolar and dissociative identity disorder, and if these are really, really extreme cases of mental illness, you want some training on knowing what to do. How do you help? So Brett shows up day one of the job, and here's his training. This is the full extent of it. You're about to be trained as community mental health workers. Just be their friend. You'll figure the rest out. That was it. So Brett's entire career since that day has been based on the training, just be their friend, you'll figure the rest out. So that's Brett's breakout session. My breakout session is the part where we figure the rest out. That's our job. So if you have Brett's notes, that's just be their friend. And then my notes are the figuring the rest out part. All right, so your friend, who is estranged from God, is the one that's represented by the person inside the box. The reason they're inside a box is because not only do they not know God, they don't have any way to. There is no reason for them to know anything about who God is. They're probably not going to wander into a Christian bookstore and start browsing a Bible. There aren't a lot of seekers out there who are just waiting for the Bible to show up in their path so that they can come to know. That's not really how it works most of the time. The way that they're going to see God is in you. Your relationship with Christ is the only God that they see. That's it. So the moment that you meet someone who is estranged, who does not know Jesus, suddenly you become their one connection. That's it. Which means to move from being estranged to being connected. So on the left-hand side, you see the person who's estranged, and they just met you. And on the right-hand side, if you offer friendship to them, they might become connected to God through you. Now, this is not a faith connection. I'm not saying that they suddenly have been saved. I'm saying for the first time, they have a way to see God where they did not before. And that way is not church, although it would be great if they show up. That way is you, which means you have to become friends with people who don't yet know God. That's the first step. We've got a lot of things to talk about in that step, but we're going to jump ahead for the sake of time, and we'll back up to it. Step two is storytelling. So once your friend is connected to God by seeing Christ in you, you're the transformed person, they're the connected person, what might happen next? Well, you can see that the barrier there gets a little bit of a dotted line because now there's some possibilities there. They're seeing something that they didn't see before. But how do they start to get the barrier at the top box where they might start to actually have a chance of getting a glimpse of who God is? Well, it's through your stories. Eventually, it's through your testimony. But early on, it's simply through casual stories that you tell. You know, I was just so frustrated with my coworker the other day. I didn't know what to do. I was so angry. I didn't understand why they were acting that way. And I just had to take a second, take a breath. I said a prayer, and I calmed down. And I realized that they'd had a really hard day the day before. Their kids were acting up. They were having this issue. And I was just able to show grace. And by the end of the day, we were doing great again. Telling a story like that is not that hard to do. If it's a thing that happens in your life, if you have a vital and connected relationship with Jesus, and when you do that, your stories of faith begin to make it possible for your friend to be connected. The third step is good newsing. So once your friend is informed, they know something about who God is through the stories that you've been telling, now how are they going to come to be empowered to actually choose Jesus, to say yes to Jesus? This is going to happen when you are ready to present the gospel to them. This is probably the phase that makes most of us the most nervous. It is not as hard as we make it out to be. And it's not something that you do on day two of friendship, probably. I don't know, the Lord may work. But most likely, this is something that you earn the right to do way down the road. We can have some conversation about how you know the time is right for that. And then finally, when they've become empowered, when God's grace is working in their life and the story of your testimony is starting to make sense to them and the gospel is making sense to them, then comes the moment where you can invite them into a life of saying yes to Jesus. And it requires that invitation. You have to actually say, are you ready to pray with me? Would you like to know Jesus? That's really that simple. And once they've received the invitation, they too become transformed. So that's the big overview. That's where we're going with this. Now we're going to take some time to dig into each step along the way and look at some of the barriers that stop us and some of the ways that we can start to do this more naturally and more easily. So let me pause right there and ask you, what questions do you have or what observations do you see that we can help clear up before we start to dig into some of the individual pieces here? Yeah, how can I help? Oh, yeah. So this is a really insightful question. And tell me if I'm representing the question appropriately. What I heard you ask is, how do you, when you're becoming friends with someone, how do you make sure their darkness does not overtake your light? In other words, many of us, I think, have grown up in homes where we were taught, well, be careful who you're friends with, right? You want your friends only to be people who are already Christians in order that you may be protected and preserved on your journey. Is that that's good? Yeah, so I have a couple of things to say about that. First of all, one of my favorite things to know about the history of the church is a story from Martin Luther. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, the original Protestant reformer. So he believes that a Christian is two things. A perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all, and a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. In other words, a Christian serves and cares for and loves others, but a Christian is really free. Grace is really radical. A Christian is not bound under the law. He really believes that. That's what started and kicked off all of the Protestant revolution was his belief in this. But here's the kicker. Ready? He says, for goodness sake, don't tell anybody under the age of 25. They're not ready. Isn't that great? Now we, 500 years later, know something about how brains get developed, and we know you're not done cooking until you're about 25. So here's what I'll say with this. I don't think that it is necessary that you send your kids out as sheep among wolves. I'm not arguing for that. I'm also not arguing that a person that becomes a Christian who was an alcoholic yesterday should now go out to the bars and start evangelizing other alcohol. That's not healthy, right? No, of course not. However, all of us who are mature in our faith have certain areas where we don't have to worry about temptation. If your story is alcoholism, it may be that bar evangelism is never going to be a good idea for you. It probably is the case that that's never a good idea for you. If your particular issues are something that you know that the Lord is working with you on, that may not be your place to go make friends, right? But there are things in your life that you're not struggling with. And maybe that's exactly who someone is praying for, you to be the friend to that person, right? So my answer to that is, you do have to be wise to do something like this. You don't necessarily just jump into every dangerous situation you see, but you have to be listening to the Holy Spirit and understanding yourself and your own journey well enough to know, okay, here is a person who is struggling with a gambling addiction. I've never been tempted to gamble a day in my life. That's not something that but I can come alongside this person and be their friend. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Good question. That's very helpful. Anything else? Okay, good. So let's step back to step one, friendship. Are we on step one? Look at that. So in order to become friends with someone, here's what you need to get past. You need to get past what we're going to call the estranged mindset. So the estranged mindset it's not a technical term, it's just something we sort of made up. But it's a way to describe someone who is not a believer. And I think Christians in the United States have a hard time with this, because for many decades we could take for granted that almost everyone we met had grown up in church and just left it, right? Or at least knew enough about the Bible that they had some concept of how we would think of right and wrong. Yeah? So if you met someone that didn't go to church, you could find out when they did one time. And so it wasn't so much that they didn't know right from wrong, it was just that they had walked away. That is really not the case anymore. It's just not. And we have to let go of that idea, because we tend to go around assuming that people who aren't acting like Christians are people that we cannot be friends with. But how will they ever begin to act like a Christian if they don't know Christ? And how will they ever know Christ if all of the people who know Christ are unwilling to talk to them? That's the conundrum that we have let ourselves get into this situation. And we have to get past that, which means when you begin to understand the estranged mindset, when you recognize that there are certain things that these folks are bringing to the table, you can suddenly accept, oh, of course they're going to think that. Of course they're going to have different assumptions about right and wrong than I do. Of course they do. The estranged mindset, among other things, might mean they think what matters in life is what you can see and feel right now. They're probably going to be suspicious of organized religion. If you've not heard someone say that to you, I don't like organized religion, then you probably just haven't talked to that many people outside the church, because this is what they're saying. This is what they're telling us. And here's what you need to know. They've got their reasons, and their reasons aren't dumb. When people say they don't like organized religion, it's because they have seen abusive and dangerous and sketchy behavior in organized religion over and over and over again, or they themselves have been hurt by it, and so they have their reasons for saying that. We can't treat them like that's silly. We have to take them for where they are. But they'll use that as an excuse to hold spiritual questions at bay in their lives. They probably think faith has no role in decision making. You make your decisions based off of what will get you what you need and what you want and what you value in life. You don't pray. You don't exercise faith to do that. There's a number of things, but probably what this means is that there is a barrier between you and your potential friend where you don't really feel comfortable with what they say, with what they believe and with what they do. Now, that barrier is going to be there. Your friend is not going to cross that barrier to you. You have to cross that barrier to your friend. And this is where it helps that we're all good Nazarenes. We know that our story is first rooted in God coming to us, in God befriending us while we were yet sinners. We know this. And we have this deep theology of prevenient grace, which just means the grace that comes before. So it's before anything we ever did that was smart or wise or good. God's grace was the grace that was already at work. We know this. And so it is okay for us to see someone who is not right with God, who says things that we're uncomfortable with, who does things that we're uncomfortable with, who believes things that we're uncomfortable with, and instead of fighting them and telling them how wrong they are, which has never helped anybody, we get to be the ones who cross that barrier just like God crossed the barrier to us, become their friends right where they are. Who believes that that is possible? Yeah, good. If it weren't possible, none of us would be here. If it weren't possible, we would not know God at all. This is our story, and this is the story that we have got to learn how to be able to tell other churches so that they might understand what we do. Any questions on this? There's much more to talk about here, but I'm very aware of the time and how much we have to get through. Yeah. Mm-hmm.